Turn up the music track. Auxiliary one.
Are many against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. And oh my God, He will not delay, and my refuge and strength always. And I will not fear, His promise is true, and my God will come through always, always. Oh. Trouble surround me, chaos abounding, my soul will rest in. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. And oh my God, He will not delay, and my refuge and strength always. I will not fear, His promise.
Everybody. Good morning. How are you guys feeling this morning? Awesome. So our senior pastors are going to start out service with a prayer. So can everybody just stand up and get ready for that? I know they're going to want everybody standing, and we're going to get right into worship right after that. So just hang tight, okay? Can we give our pastors a round of applause?
Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. God is good. I said, God is good. Amen. We want to pray. There's a lot of things going on across our nation right now. My wife and I just returned from Idaho, and there are fires all over Montana, all over Oregon, all over Idaho. In fact, you could not even see the mountains. The smoke was so thick, you couldn't even see the mountains. And so we want to pray for them. They've also, in that area, in that vicinity, have experienced since Saturday 141 earthquakes. Many people aren't even hearing about that one. Also, what's happening, we also want to remember everybody in Houston that they're still flooded. And we also want to remember Florida as they're being barraged right now with a hurricane. We want to pray for them. Our bishop is down there near Miami, and I just chatted with him last service, and they said just a few more hours left and they'll be out of the winds. But a 100-mile-an-hour wind just hit through Miami just a little bit ago. So we want to keep all of these folks in prayer. Can we pray right now? Everybody just bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you love your church. You love your people. God, right now, we just release the angels to surround and protect. Lord, not only the people, but we also pray for their buildings, the church buildings, God, that, Father, the people of God will have a refuge to go to, that they'll be encouraged that your house is still set and settled. Do miracles across this nation in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for those that are in Houston, God, that have experienced loss. Lord, even some of our Bible school students, Lord, their homes and their churches have been touched. We declare, God, that you'll supernaturally stand up and be powerful on their side. Lord, we also declare up in the Northwest, Lord, with all these earthquakes, bring a settling to the earth in the name of Jesus. God, put out the fires in Jesus' name. Lord, save lives there, God. Lord, we just thank you for our nation. It's the greatest nation in the world where the gospel can be preached freely. We ask in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you'll move on our behalf and bring protection and safety to the church, the body of Christ. And we love you so much. Lord, bless this service in Jesus' name. We know you're going to move. You already moved in the first service. We ask that the residual anointing will even increase, oh God, by your Spirit. Lord, let our spiritual appetite be fulfilled by the glory of God. And Lord Jesus, we will worship you in spirit and in truth. We determine it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship Jesus. It's going to be an awesome day in the kingdom.
You are glorious. You are glorious.
Jesus, we just thank you for breathing a new life into us this morning.
Hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
on, pour out your praise this morning. So let me hear a shout. Let me hear some clips. Let me see some jumps. Let's get excited for the presence of God.
Thank you for your presence in this place this morning. God, we ask that you'll increase your anointing. God, that your presence will go from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep. God, let us swim in your glory. Lord, let us exclaim as Moses declared, show us your glory, God. We want to see your glory, Jesus. We don't want to go to church. We want you. God, today we just abandon ourselves. God is healing somebody. You're having earaches in your right ear. God is healing you. There's a lady here. You're having problems with your an ovary on the left-hand side, and there's pain in there. God is healing you right now. Even as you stand, if you lift your hands, you'll feel the anointing flow right from your fingertips all the way down to your portions, and God will heal you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for the presence. God, we're not ashamed to say we need you. In him we live and move and have our being. Lord, today we declare that you are our source of eternity, our source of life on this earth, our source of healing, our source of deliverance. Everything that we have and need, Jesus, is inside of you. So, Lord, we come. We bow our hearts just one more time. We sing this song with all of our being. God, let us feel it down, way down in our soul. God, as we give you all that we have.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Love him. Man, it's one thing to be religious, but it's another thing to know your Jesus. Changes everything, doesn't it? I could sing that song all day long. I'm not even exaggerating. I could sing that song all day long. Just put it on repeat. Why? Because every time I get back to that spot, I'm now found. Because whenever you get back to him being the one that you need, the one you rely upon, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. Man, the more you know him, the more peace you have, for Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Man, he can take all the stuff that's been brought bad against you and turn it for good. When you know him, it changes everything. Can I hear an amen? On your way back to your chair, why don't you welcome five or six folks and let them know how much you love them. Don't just go and sit down. Please go say hi to somebody. If you're a little intimidated, you don't like to say hi to anybody, step out in faith. God will bless you. If you want to have a friend, you got to be friendly.
Sun now bursting through the clouds, black and white. Touch What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Okay, everybody, let's get this thing rolling. I need some good ideas for the next Awaken Monthly.
Let's do a fiesta.
I like it. Give me some activities.
I mean, we can have a pepper eating contest.
Sure, what else?
We should get tacos.
Well, it's kind of a given, but yeah, sure.
How about a mechanical bull?
Yes, keep them coming.
I really want tacos.
Yes, Marcus, we know.
Yeah, and if you bring a friend, you can win a Moe's gift card.
I love it. Marcus, do you have any actual ideas? Where did you... Any other ideas? Everyone just leave.
Good morning, His Tabernacle family. We want to remind you once again about our volunteer breakfast that's coming up September 30th at 9 a.m. Yes, for you workers and volunteers, we want to be a blessing to you. So we are providing a breakfast, and guess who's serving you? It's going to be your leaders and pastors. So make sure you sign up with your leader today, September 30th, 9 a.m. Come out and eat some breakfast.
Hey, we want to remind you.
That's it.
What?
Can't hear you.
You can't.
Can't understand you.
What?
How about now?
Yeah, that's better.
We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, we want to remind you about the water baptism that's coming up September 24th. At 9 or 11 o'clock, we're going to be doing the next water baptism. You want to make sure that you sign up. You can go to the hub out in the foyer, or you can also go online, histabernacle.com, click on water baptism, and sign up. Again, the next one, September 24th, either 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Make sure you sign up today.
What it looked like, practicing for the dunk tank.
You know that's an auction, right? And there's going to be more things to do at Welcome Home Weekend than just that. There's going to be, like, food and games and a lip-sync battle and then a movie under the stars.
I'll dunk you for 500.
Thank you. Good morning, His Tabernacle. It is great to have you here this morning. We are so blessed to have you in this house. If you are here for the very first time and you're excited to be here and we're excited to have you, but if you could you just lift your hand up? We have a packet for you. Thank you over here. Thank you right over here. Thank you, sir. Yep, we're going to give you a gift real quick with some information, and we just want to love on you. In that packet is an invitation card. After this service, your right, there's a hallway over here, and if you're here for the first time, we want you to go down there, and we have a guest reception office, and you'll be able to meet the pastors and just see the behind the scenes of what's going on, and we're really excited to have you guys here. Live stream, thank you so much for joining us. You're our family, too. We are blessed to have you tuning in today. And then we have a very important announcement today that there is a worship team tryout on September 23rd. If you have serious skills in the worship department, not like mediocre skills, but like, you know, amazing skills in the worship department or want to learn more, please see Mackenzie Coe and she'll hook you up with all of the extra details. And then also, you saw the amazing advertisement. It was hilarious. But next week, we have Welcome Home Sunday. Welcome Home Weekend. It's not just Sunday. It's Saturday night, too. Make sure that you bring your friends and your family and participate in what God's doing in the house.
And then Sunday, the 24th of September, so that's the day after worship tryouts, we are having a baptismal Sunday. You don't want to miss out. I want to encourage you to sign up. If you're tech savvy, you can sign up online. If you're not so tech savvy like me, you can go and sign up at the Hub. And so that's what's happening. Anyway, we are not wearing these because we feel they're fashionable really in any way. We're wearing them because tonight is our fiesta for our young adults. We're so excited. So if you're between the ages of 18 to 30, can we just see your hands? We want to see you there tonight. Remember, if you want friends, you have to be friendly. And so we're excited. We have walking tacos. We have a mechanical bull. We have a chili eating contest. We have gift cards, giveaways. It's going to be ridiculous. So we want to see you there. We're excited. At 5:30 p.m. right here at His Tab, childcare is provided. All right, here's Pastor Rhonda with the offering. Good morning. Wow. Good morning. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, it is such a joy to give to our King. We're just going to stand to our feet, make our supernatural declaration to the Lord. It is from the Word of God. It is simply Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll repeat after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can give right along with us by clicking on the giving button or even text to give.
Jesus, we make your praise. Oh.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? My wife and I just got back from Idaho. I just want you to know that what's exciting, hey, man of God, heading off to college. Yeah. What's real exciting is that wherever I go, you go. We're one. Amen. So we were able this last Sunday to preach to 1,600 people over five different campuses, and it was a very exciting time as we were able to impart and just bless the men of God, the women of God of Idaho. And it sounds like a small place, but it's actually bigger than here. And so we're really blessed. And I just want to say thank you for allowing your pastors to go out and minister to other people, because I believe that's very important. Number one, it keeps me fresh, but also you get to hear the gifts from within the house. We have some amazing preachers within this house right here. How many of you enjoyed last Sunday? Heard it was a great move of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Pastor Cody's preached. Pastor Palko preached at the first of the year. She tore it up. I've just sensed in my spirit I needed to pray for a few folks. Could I have the Ostranders come to the front, please? They are not anticipating this, so I know Brenda, she's trying to hide. But I just really feel led of the Spirit to pray for the Ostranders. I don't know, but I just want to give God praise for their lives. I don't know how many of you know the Ostranders. Shane has been serving in this church for 18 years. Like literally serving in the church for 18 years. And Brenda was over our children's department for 5 years. And she's also served in the children's department for all these years. And I don't think we give enough appreciation. And this morning, I would just like to have us all thank the Lord for their lives if they have served in this house for all of these years. Amen. I just want to pray with you. I don't even know. Praise the Lord. We're so blessed in this house. We have over I think it's like 40% of this church are workers. And I'd like you to turn to someone next to you and say, thank you for working in God's kingdom. It is. It's so important to recognize that the kingdom is not based on one individual. Amen. The kingdom of God is based on the family of God, the household of God, and you are phenomenal workers. We want to welcome Sharon back. Amen. She's visiting, young man. This is what she said to me. She says, I'm out in California, Pastor, and she's crying. She says, I can't find a church out there like this. And I just want you to know how blessed we are here at His Tabernacle Family Church. We are a very blessed church with the presence of the Lord. And I just want to encourage you, make sure you step into what God has for you here. Don't be just somebody that looks from the outside in, but get involved. Amen? How many of you have joined Step One before? How many of you have gone through Rock Solid Faith? I encourage everybody every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., or Thursday night at 6 p.m. is Step One, Rock Solid Faith. Turn to someone and say, it's time to grow up. This is what will grow you up, the Word of God, getting solidified in the kingdom of God with the knowing the Word. So we want to encourage you to make sure that you're there. We are so blessed. I want you to know as your pastors, we don't just bring in guest speakers because we want to bring in a guest speaker. We bring in guest speakers because of the impartation that they leave. How many of you remember Brother Shelton from last year? Wow. Listen, if you weren't in first service, hang on for the ride. I hope you get yourself a pen and a pad and a fork and a knife and bring a doggy bag with you because it's going to be good. But I want to encourage you, we bring in speakers because of what they leave here supernaturally. There are five gifts to the church, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. We all have the same job, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to bring them to unity and bring them to maturity. But we all do it with a different anointing that's on our lives. And it's so important. How many of you know you have five food groups? You got to have all five food groups to be healthy. Listen, you can't cut out one thing and think that you're going to get nutrients from another. You got to have all five food groups. That's what created. And in the spirit, there are five food groups. And today we're blessed with Brother Shelton and his beautiful bride to be here and deposit supernaturally a message that is from heaven. Next month, how many of you are excited about next month? Next month, we're going to have John Avanzini. How many of you have ever heard of John Avanzini? Very few of you. John Avanzini is a giant in the faith. He's 81 or 82 years old this year. And my wife and I determined that we want to bring in the giants. I'm not saying that they're older. Want to bring in the giants before they pass to the other side. Amen? I want their deposit. So next month, John Avanzini is going to be in the house. You don't want to miss that. It is going to be such an amazing week. But this week, oh my goodness, first service, I still got stuff. I got to go get a spiritual toothpick because I got stuff stuck in my teeth. It was so good. I want to encourage you to get ready in the spirit. Can you give a warm welcome to Brother Shelton and his beautiful bride?
Good morning. We love being here. We had a fellow that used to open up our service, and everybody loved this guy. His name was Maceo. And he would say, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. And everybody would just smile. And that was the purpose. You're in the church. You're in the house of God. You should be smiling. I'm going to stare you down until you do. Why? Because in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And we have certainly been in his presence this morning. Pastor was talking about taking notes. I've been married to this man for 44 years. We've been in ministry for 40? Have we hit 40 yet? 41. Oof. Most of our life. But anyway, and I have taken notes from every message, pretty much, for all these years that we've been in ministry. Why? Have I heard some of the things more than once? Absolutely. But does he always say something different because he gets something new from the Holy Spirit? Yes. But because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, nobody's going to grow me for me. And nobody's going to grow you for you. And you see, I took a scripture when I was a little girl that said, the amount of thought and study you give to the word you hear is the amount of revelation that will be given you, and more besides will be given to you. But if you don't take any notes, if you don't give any thought and study, even what you have is going to be taken away. Why? Because the birds of the air, the cares of this life will come swiftly to steal the words that you hear. You only remember for a matter of an hour what you don't take notes over. If you take notes and you study it again with three times in 24 hours, it goes from short-term to long-term memory. And that's why I take notes. That's why, well, like Pastor, you go over it again and again, because I don't want what I hear to go in and out. I want what I hear to go in and deep and down and to become a part of who I am. So that when hurricanes of life come, my roots are so deep, I might bend over all the way to the ground, but I'm going to come right back up. Because my roots are planted deep in the good, good word, standing on the promises, living by faith and walking by faith. We're so excited about the word to bring you today and the opportunity to be here. We love this church. We love your pastors. And we love what God is going to do. We can see some things. We know what God's going to do here and in this region. And you're a part of it. You're the seed of it. And I just want to encourage you today, grasp hold of that. And then make yourself someone that says, what's going to happen? I'm not going to watch. I'm going to be a part of. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, look, I also say it's a privilege to be here. It really is. You know, sometimes when I think about hear my wife or someone talk about, you know, how long we've been in this journey in the ministry, you know, the 41 years, and we actually pastored. We started out traveling 2 years in ministry, and then we pastored a church for a couple of years over in South Carolina, a little small church. Then we planted a church in 1980 in St. Louis, and then we pastored that church for 36 years, And then just a little less than 2 years ago, my son, we installed my son as the, one of my sons is the lead pastor of the church. And now we are, besides overseeing that and as an apostolic leader there, then traveling the world and sharing all the good experiences God's given us and the truths that he showed us. And I say all that because, you know what? I mean, here I am just 39 years old, and I don't know how you can experience all that, you know, in these few short years. But anyway, I'm here today. I would like to share with you some of the just the things that God has worked in me and taught me through all these years. And here's what it's about today. Would you do this? Stand to your feet with me, if you would, one more time. And I just want to read this one simple passage. It's 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And I'll read it. We'll open this word. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Listen to this carefully. Y'all know this verse. It's very well, very much quoted. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I'd like to read it again. Listen to this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let's pray. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, just a moment. Could everybody just pray that has a prayer language, just pray in the Holy Spirit a moment. Just stir up the Spirit, right? Father, we just thank you right now for your presence in this house. Oh, Lord God, we step back and we glory in your presence. Father God, I pray, let your word be like a sword in my mouth today. God, driven into the hearts of the people, God. May you meet with us through your word today. And I give you all glory, all praise, all honor for what you're about to do now in Jesus' name. And everybody shout a big amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Thank you. I felt the Lord told me to do this today. Let me just say, first of all, that I believe that this church really has a tremendous future. You know, you can go into churches and feel different things. And what I feel here is I sense that there's a destiny on this house that is much greater than what you're experiencing right now or seeing right now. And I just want you to know, if we just do the right things, participate with God, and that I believe that's going to happen. Amen. Can you all see that? Do you believe that? Oh, yeah. And that there's incredible things for this church. I've been in many churches that have grown, exploded. I've been to them when they were smaller, you know, and took off to touch a city or a nation or the world. And all of them have common things. And I'm not going to get into those things. I did share some of them in the first service, but I just felt to go straight to it. One key element that has to be in the culture of a church, in order for a church to a community of believers to impact the city around them and the world, is for that church to have a spirit of faith that is so deeply embedded in them that it's not just something that's preached from the pulpit, but actually where the overwhelming majority of the believers in the house live by faith in their daily walk, where they don't rely upon the pastor to pray for them or some leader of a home group or something to get a miracle, that where every believer knows how to get a hold of God in the darkest hour of their life and run the devil off and believe God for a miracle to take place. You with me now? And, I mean, I've lived through this, where I was raised in church and was one of those people that didn't have a really strong faith for myself. I needed someone else to break me through the difficult moments. And then God opened some of these things to me I'm sharing with you today. And it revolutionized my life, where we've seen miracles. I've seen two times people raised from the dead. And which if you ever have one raised from the dead, it'll wreck your whole world. But there was one time, I'll just tell you, that I was preaching the service, and this woman comes running from the back doors of the church. She's screaming. We can hear her outside. When she gets inside the doors, people turn around, and the place was packed, and they parted ways for her. She comes running down the aisle, and as she gets about halfway down, I see that she's got a little baby in her arms. And when she gets to the front, she takes and throws this two-year-old girl into my arms while I'm preaching. I'd stopped preaching by the time she did. And she throws this little two-year-old girl in my arms, and she's crying, "My baby has died. And my baby's died." When she got into my arms, she was already, like, your scum of her skin turned blue, and she was hard. Rigor mortis had already set in, so I knew she didn't die just in the last few moments. And so here I am, you know. He's kind of like, you know, man, I was doing real good. This wrecked my service, you know. And no, I didn't feel that at all. Rigor mortis had set in, the body was cold and hard, and compassion just poured out of me. And I lifted that baby up to God, closed my eyes, cried out for a miracle. And you know what? It took about 2 minutes. After about 2 minutes, all of a sudden, this baby's skin started getting warm in my arms. And then a little bit later, it started softening and until the body became completely soft. And then all of a sudden, with one big gasp, this little girl takes a big breath. And I asked the woman, "When did she die?" She said she died about 12 hours earlier, and in her sleep, and she didn't find her till the next morning. And so anyway, if you ever one single time are able to hand a dead baby, 2-year-old girl, back in the arms of her mother alive, I tell you, it will wreck you for ordinary Christianity. You will live with a radical faith for the rest of your life. Amen? Amen. So anyway, I want to build your faith for this next season. So I'm focusing on this 1 John 5:4. And I want to break this down. So go quickly with me, if you will. I want to break this down because this verse is literally jammed, loaded with revelation, even though it's such a popular verse. Let's look at it again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Let's just take that statement. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What does that statement mean? Many people look at this. Maybe we can look at many scriptures, in fact. And we look at them in like a scripture like this, just like as a word of encouragement, you know, or for inspiration. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. But this is not a word. This is not, first of all, this is not a promise. Notice he didn't say whatever's born of God, you know, I promise you, will overcome the world. It's not a promise. It's also not a commission. It's not an assignment. In other words, he didn't say, whatever's born of God, I command you, go overcome the world. He says, look at the language of this statement. He says, whatever is born of God overcomes. In other words, what he's saying is, whatever is born of God, every born-again believer, it's not talking about your action. It's not saying every born-again believer does overcome the world or has instances of overcoming the world. It's saying whatever is born of God lives in a state of overcoming in this world, overcoming the world. Now, why is that so important? It's important for this reason. Many times we use scriptures like this, or like Philippians 4:13, you know, my God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And again, we just use them as kind of to pump us up or to encourage us as a promise. But actually, verses like this, 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, is not dealing, watch this, it's not dealing with a promise, that something God's promising us. It's not an encouragement for us. It has to do with identity. It has to do with who we are in Christ. Y'all listen to me. Don't follow this. Listen. So when he says whatever is born of God overcomes the world, he's saying whatever is born of God, every born-again believer, it is to live in this state of overcoming, because when God created man with the DNA of overcoming, an overcoming DNA. You know, I thought about, you go back to the creation and Genesis 1, when God said, let us make man, make him in our likeness. And what is the first thing he says? He said, let them have dominion. And I thought about that, and I thought, first of all, think of all the things that God could have said. The only thing he said at the moment of saying, I'm going to create man, he said, let him have dominion. And I think he could have said so many things. Let man be a lover of people. You know, let him be holy. Let him be, you know, all these things. But he only said one thing, let them have dominion. And when I saw that, and then also I saw this, it hit me that whenever he said, let them have dominion, he wasn't saying, man, I'm going to create you, and I want you to go have dominion. The words, let them have dominion, were said in the same way that God said, let there be light. In other words, when God said, let there be light, he wasn't saying, son, I'm going to create you as a ball of fire, and I want you to shine. Let there be light come forth from that sun. No, when God spoke, let there be light, actually in the Hebrew he said, light be, and light was. What God was saying is, he was speaking, when he spoke light, he spoke the sun, the moon, the stars into existence, but he spoke out of his very nature, the DNA of shining on the inside of him. So whenever the sun was created, it was created with the nature to shine, because God spoke to him out of his mouth, that nature into the sun. Do y'all get that? If you understand that, then when you said God said, I'll make man, and he says, let them have dominion, literally it would read like this, dominion be, and dominion was in man. In other words, it's not what we do. It's who we are. It's in my DNA. Now, listen, if that is the case, watch this. If that is the case, here's how we bring it down to the ground level. If that's the case, then this is what it means. When he says whatever is born of God overcomes the world, we know he can't be talking about that you always overcome the world every day, at every moment, at all times. He can't be talking about what we experience. He's talking about what goes on the inside of us. He's talking about God. When I say God has given us the nature of dominion or overcoming inside of us, what that means is you. There are many things in life that you cannot dictate. You cannot determine what happens to you sometimes, many times. What people say about you, what people do to you, how they misuse you, abuse you. You can't do a lot of times anything about circumstances that have come around you or all hell that's breaking loose in your life. But what you can control is that you have the nature of overcoming dominion on the inside of you. And what God is saying is, no, you can't control what's going on out there, but you can draw a circle around yourself, your mind, your body, and your spirit, and you can control what's going on the inside of yourself. The reason that's important is this. No, you can't control everything that's going on out there, but that's not where victory's won. Victory's won in here on the inside, not out there. You got to understand that victory or overcoming is not about everything turning out roses in your life. It's about having the ability to walk through the darkest hour, through all hell breaking loose in your life, and you still not lose your unquenchable faith, not lose your spirit of joy. Not lose that spring in your step. That's, y'all listen to me now. You don't lose that. So many Christians I know, when they go even through a little storm, they immediately lose all their joy. They freak out and flake out. They're spiritual granolas. All right, anyway, and they just freak out. You know, oh my God, I just don't know what's going on. Please pray for me. And I say, listen, you need to first calm down and get a hold of yourself so that you can win the battle in here. Because the way to win the battle out there is to have the victory in here. Are you with me now? Listen, because let me tell you something. It should be like the three Hebrew children were cast into the fire, remember? Seven times hotter, the fiery furnace. And when they're before they're cast in there, the kings threatened them to do that. If you don't bow down and worship my idol. And so the three Hebrew children said to him, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, but they said, King, let it be known to you that if you do throw us in the fire, if you do, that we will not bow, our God will save us. Watch this. So their first confession of their faith, statement of their being, was this. We're not going to bow to you. We're not threatened by you. This, what you do, because our God is going to come through for us. Watch this. But know this, O King, that if you throw us into the fire and God doesn't show up for us, let it be known we're still not going to bow before you, O King. I love this. Listen, that kind of faith drives the devil crazy. And that's because, listen, those guys understood that victory was not about the fire that you're going through. It's about the fire that's on the inside of you. Are you with me now? Because if you've got victory in here, when all hell's breaking loose out there, the devil will never be able to defeat you. You are an overcomer. With me now. Instead of wearing it on your face, it's like this. And I, in one way, I hate to tell this story. It's about myself. You know, it's not about me. But I will tell you, I got to tell you this. And that is that, you know, it's like as I stand before you right now, I am in pain. Now, I mean, I have deteriorated this in my neck and my upper back. And so I'm, for the last 5 or 6 years, I've been in pain literally 24 hours a day. It's never stopped. I'm in pain right now. Here's the thing. I believe God is going to heal me at any moment. I don't believe I'm going to live with this the rest of my life. I don't believe that God's going to leave me in this state. I believe God, he may heal me today. It may be tomorrow, but God is going to heal me. Are we? That's my faith. But watch this. But, let it be known that I am going to keep such faith in God on the inside of me that I could be in pain 24 hours a day, and yet I come in here into town and then leave, and you never know what I just told you unless I had told you. You with me now? Because victory for me is not what I'm experiencing in my body. Victory for me is what I'm experiencing in my soul. And ultimately, my body is going to change to line up with my soul. But in the meantime, I am not going to let the pain in my body dictate my attitude, my emotions. I'm not going to let it dictate my spirit of victory. Hallelujah. Ah, I'm not going to let it ruin my life or my day. Sometimes I travel across the world and don't even feel like getting on the plane, you know, with the pain. But the thing is, I don't even consider that. It's like, because listen, I say, here's where my faith is. Devil, let me tell you something. If you continue to attack me, I believe God is going to heal me. But let it be known, I realize that, devil, you're not after my body anyway. You're after the victory in my soul. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. When you go through the fire, do you go through and then come out giving a testimony how God delivered you, but you still have the smell of smoke? Y'all just missed that right there. Everybody. Do you go through the fire, then God delivers you? You know, the three Hebrew children, it says they came out without the smell of smoke. So it wasn't just enough they were delivered. They came out without any sense or any cloud, any aura at all that they had been through anything. You with me? Oh, I love that. I love that. Go through hell. God brings you out. And then there's no sense at all. There's no smell of smoke. Hallelujah. I'm saying this for somebody here today. Listen, today you've got to know this. Somebody's been complaining. God, when are you going to show up? And God says, I have showed up. He said, I want you to show up. You show up and believe in what I've put on the inside of you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, let's go on. Watch this. It says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, this is interesting to me because when it says overcomes the world, some people might think that this means like some kind of political domination and, you know, overcoming the world. But we know that Islam has a political element to it, but the Christianity has no political element to it. It's just believers going out and manifesting the life of Christ to the world. So what does it mean, whatever is born of God overcomes the world? When you look at the word world in the Greek, yeah, actually what it means the world's present system, the present age with its system, the age in which you live. And I begin to realize what he's saying is this. Listen, there is always a pull on the world for us to come under its power and its rule, to come under the sway of its way of thinking instead of being ruled by the other system, which is heaven's system. You see, there are two systems. Everybody shout, two systems. And what really what your whole life of faith is all about is which system are you going to let rule your soul? Which system are you going to let rule your eyes, your ears, your confession, your heart? One system or the other will rule you. And I'm going to tell you something about these systems. This is so fascinating. Let me just say it this way first. Watch this. And this may not make sense to some of you at first, but it will later. And that is that here's the way we live. We live in this world system. We function. We operate here. But we live from heaven's system as Christians. Now that passed over right over some of you. We live here, function here, but we don't live from here. We live here. We live from there. We function here. And I'll explain to you what I mean. Look at this in John chapter 3, and I'm going to read in a moment verse 13, but here, let me set this up real quick. Y'all still with me today? You get this. Look at this, John 3:13. I love this. So it's Nicodemus coming to Jesus, and Nicodemus says to Jesus, he says, you know, he comes and said, I want to know how to inherit the kingdom of God. Basically, he saw Jesus operating in the rule of the kingdom, and he said, I want to do that stuff. I want to know how to operate in the kingdom of God. And Jesus looks at him and he tells him, he said, okay, Nicodemus, he says, here's what you need to know. Listen, you ready? He says, and he starts talking to him about being born. He said, you need to be born again, just like you were born from your mother. You need to be born again. Well, Nicky didn't get that at all. He was confused. And he said, wait a minute, what shall I do? Shall I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? He said, how can I do that? Jesus said, okay, let's try it from another angle, Nicky. He said, here's what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about wind. He said, moving in the kingdom of God is like, and operating the kingdom is like wind. That you cannot see wind, but you can see the effects of what it does. You can see what it changes. You got it, Nikki? See, that's the way the kingdom of God is. That you don't see it, but you see the effects of it and how it works. Well, Nicodemus was still confused. He said, I don't get that one either. And so anyway, I love this. Nicodemus says to him again, he said, come on, Jesus, just tell me the truth. What is the answer? What is the truth? And here's what Jesus says to him. Watch this. He says to Nicodemus, he says to him, you want to go, you want to know the truth? You want to have spiritual truth without these analogies? In other words, what Nicodemus was asking him for was leave off these natural analogies, you know, like birth and wind. He was saying, Nicodemus was saying, Jesus, just give me the raw truth. Just give me a raw download from heaven on what it is. Forget all these analogies. And Jesus says, okay, here's one. You ready? Are y'all ready? Here it is. Now watch this. Jesus said, okay, get ready, Nicodemus. I'm stripping away all the analogies. I'm going to give you a raw truth. And let's see how you handle it. Here it is. John 3:13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Did y'all get that? Nobody got that. I want to say it again. I want you to get put yourself in the place of Nicodemus. You're saying, come on, man. Forget these analogies, earthly analogies. I want to download from heaven. Tell me raw, powerful truth. And Jesus said, okay, Nicodemus, here it is. You ready for it? Come on, get this, Nicodemus. He said that no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. In other words, and he is the Son of Man standing right there before Nicodemus. So he's talking about himself. And talking about himself, Jesus makes these remarkable statements that stupefies Nicodemus. He says, Nicodemus, see me standing here? He said, notice I say past tense, I have descended from heaven. You know that. Past tense, I have already ascended to heaven. And present tense, I am presently in heaven as I speak to you now. And I all of a sudden that hit me. I thought, my God, that's crazy powerful stuff. No wonder Nicodemus didn't get it. Because how can you be a man, Jesus, standing there physically and right in front of Nicodemus, but saying, Nicodemus, I'm standing here in front of you physically, but I am not really here. I'm living from heaven. I am presently living in heaven. And I begin to get it. I begin to understand. Jesus said, I physically descended from heaven. He said, but spiritually, I have already ascended to heaven. And right now, presently, I am living the Son of Man who is in heaven. He was saying, Nicodemus, here's the way you got to understand the world works. And that is the world system is constantly trying to pressure you, bring it under its control. But here's the way we live. We live and operate here, but he says we live ascended into the heavens where we function here, but our life is dictated to by heaven's rules and by heaven's revelation. And that blew my mind when I saw this, because Jesus was basically giving us an invitation, Nicodemus and us, an invitation to the same kind of life. That the way I'm to live my life, I live functioning physically here, operating, working here, but I don't live from here. As I stand before you, Rick Shelton, physically right now, I am really, as far as the way I live, I'm not living from here. I'm living here, but I'm living from heaven, which means when hell comes against me, when the world system is luring me, I can say, I am not operating according to a world system. I'm operating according to heaven's system. Did you get that? Wow. So whenever the world system tells me that, you know, it speaks to me, all right, you're sick, the doctor says you're not going to get better, whatever. Look, that's the world's report. That's the world system's report. But heaven's system is dictated in his word, and it says, by his stripes, I was healed. You were healed. And so whose report am I going to believe? You believe the world's report, or you believe heaven's report? Let's go on just a little bit more. Watch this. I begin to ponder this stuff, and I begin to look at Jesus in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus was tempted by the devil. You know, he was up 40 days tempted by the devil, right? And he's up on that mountain. Here's what it says in verse 5, Luke 4. Then the devil taking him, Jesus, up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So, folks, look at this. Here's what's happening. I want you to see in this temptation the clash of the two systems, the world system and heaven system. Jesus is caught at this moment right in the middle of it. And here's what's happening. Satan is tempting Jesus with the world's kingdoms, with the world system and the allures from the world. And when he does, here's what Satan says to Jesus. He said, look, Jesus, he said, I will give to you. See all these kingdoms? I will give them to you with their authority and with all their glory. So you can have the authority of these kingdoms, the glory of the kingdoms. You can have the kingdoms themselves. He said, only if only one thing, and that is that you will bow down and worship me. And this is so fascinating because Jesus violently, vehemently rejects. With a passionate, righteous anger, he says, Satan, get behind me. In other words, get out of my face. Why was he so angry and violently in opposition against that temptation. Here's why. Watch this. Satan was offering Jesus the kingdoms of this world with their glory and their authority. Here's what Jesus is thinking in the moment. Jesus is thinking, wait a minute. The Father, my Father, has already promised to give me everything that Satan is offering to me. He's already promised me that I'm going to get the kingdoms with their glory, with their authority, and it's going to, at the end, at the right time. The only thing he says that Jesus, or that Satan is offering me, he's offering me everything God has promised me, but he's offering it to me now instead of waiting for God's time later. In essence, what the temptation was, you see, a lot of times Satan will tempt us with good stuff, but in the bad time, in bad timing. When God makes a promise, there's always a process to it. And we must understand the process is just as important as the promise. But God works the process because while you're believing for the promise, God's not only getting you the promise, he is working in you a process that will make you into something better by the time you get the promise. Did you get that? And so Jesus is saying, wait a minute, here's the temptation. God's already promised these things to me. All you're offering me, Satan, is you're saying, I will give you the promise without the pain. You won't have to wait to get it like you would if you got it God's way. If you get it God's way, he promises, and then you got to believe God for a long time, and you've got to walk through these dark hours, and God works his processes on you. Satan says, I will give you the same thing. He said, but you won't have any pain, and you can have it now. Self-gratification is one of the key elements of the world system. Satan's temptation is so many times to get what God wants for you anyway, but to get it now without having to wait and spend time going through God's promises, processes. But the problem with Satan's temptation also against Jesus was this, is that the offer was, I'll give you these things if you bow down and worship me. So this is so fascinating to me because you think, well, Jesus' worship of Satan was more important than the kingdoms of this world with all their glory and authority. But the reason why it was because in Romans 6, the Bible, Paul clearly tells us, he tells us in Romans 6 that whoever you yield yourselves to obey, you become that one slave. So you listen to me. So Satan was offering him what the God had promised him. But if he gets it now Satan's way, in the world system way, instead of waiting for God's promises, processes, then he will get those kingdoms now, but they won't be his because everything he has will actually belong to the one whom he's worshiping. Whenever you yield to the allures of this world, it's a system of debt. It's a system of you get it now and you pay for it later. I cannot tell you how many times I've had people tell me, you know, I know God wanted me to have this anyway, and so I just went ahead and borrowed the money and got it. And I think, let me tell you something. You say because God wants, you know, I don't doubt that God wants you to have that nice car. I don't doubt that at all. But for you to go ahead and get it independent or indiscriminate of God's will, God's plan for your life, I said, you don't understand that God's will is more important than anything you could get in this world. And what happens is when we get things with self-gratification, having to have it now, we always get the thing, but then we're not happy with what we got because with it comes oppression. Because whoever you yield yourselves to, you become that one slave. And Jesus realized this. And that is that, Satan, you're not going to get my worship. Because it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it moves us to this. Listen, my last point in this message. I begin to think about this where it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And I begin to think, so many things you could say about faith. I've taught I don't even know how many messages on faith. It's been a huge message for me down through the years. It's been a huge part of how I function and moved in my life in ministry. But anyway, I begin to think about this, about faith. This is one of the most important things, lessons I've learned on faith. You know, when the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. That it's giving us a very clear statement, putting two things on opposite ends of the spectrum. He's basically saying when we walk by faith, not by sight, he's saying faith is over here, and way over here at the opposite end of the spectrum, in opposition to that, is sight. So what he's saying there is faith really is sight in the spiritual realm. So you see with your physical eyes, that's eyesight, but your faith sees in the spiritual realm. It sees the Word of God, and it sees the wisdom of God. Now watch this. So he says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. And I begin to look at how that faith works. Look in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, it says this, and this is the place where, you know, Abram and Sarah were believing for a child, and this is God telling them, promising them the child. Now look at this, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Paul said, as it is written, God said, I have made you a father of many nations. Past tense, I have made you a father of many nations. Everybody shout, I have made you. So before Abram ever had a child, years before, God is saying, I have, past tense, made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And I began to read that one day and I began to think, wait a minute. God, who has made you, Abram, he's already calling you now by what he has promised you in the future. So what he's promised you hasn't happened yet, but he's calling you that now. And he says that he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And when I read that one day, I don't know if y'all are this honest with God when you read scripture like this, but I love to do this. I said, God, look at that. You call those things which do not exist as though they did exist. I said, God, how can you say that and not be lying? And he said, and I just sat there a moment and was listening. God, how can you say that and not be lying? I mean, if they exist, they exist. If they don't exist, how can you say they exist if they don't exist? And the reason I actually said that to him is because I've had people accuse me, you know, and others like me, of the same accusation. That you guys, you confess that something is and it's not, you know, and you're calling it as if it already existed and it doesn't exist. And so I'm saying, God, they accuse me of that, so I'm accusing you. Why? You tell me why, how it is that you can say that without lying. Because if I could figure out how God said it without lying, then maybe I will give an answer for people of why I say it without lying. And so the Lord spoke to me and he said this. He said, Rick, he said, you have to understand that I do not exist on a linear timeline like you humans do. You have to understand the difference in nature between you, how you live, and the way I live. He said, you humans, he said, this is the way you work. Watch this. He said, let's say you're right here, okay? And you're here yesterday. So I was here at yesterday. I was there. But I'm no longer at yesterday because I'm on this linear timeline. So I left yesterday and I'm presently at today, right? Come on, that's deep right there. All right. So I'm presently at today. Now, when I'm presently at today, I can't be at yesterday and I can't be at tomorrow. But eventually, I'm going to leave today and I'm going to be over here in tomorrow. And when I'm at tomorrow, I won't be able to be at today or yesterday. You get that? Now, so when God makes me a promise, I'm here at the point of the promise, but I'm looking in the future at the fulfillment of that promise. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm standing here, but I'm required by God to have a kind of faith that calls that down line in the timeline down line that doesn't exist as if it did exist. But I'm standing here. I'm not standing there. And so anyway, God says, now, here's the way I operate. He said, I'm not on a linear timeline because I'm outside of time. I created time. He said, so I'm out here where I'm actually infinite, which means God is in all things and all things are in him. You know, and he's eternal, which means he always was. There was no beginning. He always will be. There's no ending. There's no beginning or ending of God. You can't get around God. He's in everything. Everything's in him. He's before things, after things. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. So he said, what that means is, he said, when I make a promise to you, and I say, let's say, for example, in my physical body with healing, and my physical body, and God says to me, he said, Rick, here's my promise. He said, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you were healed. He said, the reason I can say you were healed is because the moment I give you that promise, I am standing at the moment of the promise. But while I'm standing at the moment of the promise, I am equally all the way down here standing at the moment of the fulfillment of that promise. In other words, listen. In other words, he says, look, Rick, forget about this. Look, this is not like I'm there. You know, like this is what's happening, you know, or you know, kind of pretend it's happening. Or, you know, Rick, kind of let that be in your mind, your psyche, you know, that it's kind of like I'm down there. God says, no. He said, just as real as you are, as real as I am on this platform, God is presently at the moment of the promise. And he is presently, the moment he makes the promise, he's already standing at the end. That's why the Bible says that he sees the end from the beginning. It's because, come on. It's because at the beginning when he makes the promise, he's already down here at the end. And he's waving back to us. And he said, here's how faith works. He's saying, I know you can't see it because you're only back there. He says, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to believe that because I am infinite and eternal, I see the end from the beginning. I do see it. He said, I'm standing here and I'm telling you, Rick, it's already done. It's already happened. And he said, I know you can't see it, but I'm asking you to believe that I do. And because I do, you're believing it because I said it. Because I see it, not because you see it. That's why I tell people, there's a vast difference between this idea of seeing through the eyes of God, through the eyes of his word, seeing what I'm just talking about, something being done in the future by the promises of God. There's a vast difference between that and this whole visualization idea that people put forth, where I am trying to conjure up something that I am seeing. Visualization is a natural idea of man, of sitting and trying to get a mental image of something as being real that's not real. That's not what we're talking about here. I am not conjuring up a mental image of something that's not real as if it were real. All I'm doing is my faith is saying, God, I believe you're standing down there and you see it, and I decide that I'm going to see what you see. You with me now? And when I see what you see, I'm going to say what you say. And because you see the end from the beginning, you say the end from the beginning. And so I'm going to see the end from the beginning. I'm going to say the end from the beginning. Did y'all get that? Ah, hallelujah, I like that. Let me tell you, when you get a hold of a faith like that, it will drive the devil absolutely nuts. It will drive him crazy. It'll make you radical. Hallelujah. 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 You know, when I began to just see these little things like this, this became not theory to me, but it became a living reality to me, where all of a sudden I busted out into this boldness. You can ask people who knew me back then. Everybody around me said, all of a sudden something happened to Rick. He busted out into this boldness where nothing was impossible. It's just not because I'm anything good or great, I'm not. I begin to see that why nothing is impossible with God. It's because nothing gets around him. He's before all things and after all things. He sees the end from the beginning. And I begin to claim big things. I'll tell you one story. It's like that. This has to do with, we were buying a piece of property one time. And this is so fascinating because I got to tell you, it was just about 3 years earlier that we went through a period where we tried to raise some money and you know, it didn't work. it seemed like it was a failure. And so you think, oh, well, is this going to happen in the future? We were believing God for actually a whole new facility because we were living operating in a rented facility. And you know what? The Lord spoke to somebody in our church and told him, said that God's going to give you a place up on the hill where you can see it from the highway and like a big field. And that was it. And I was driving down the road one day on the highway. I look up, and here's a big field like on a hill. It was like a plateau on the top, huge piece of land. It was all weeds growing up. And I just happened to see just a little corner. It seemed like an old weather-beaten sign that was laying on the ground. And so I got out, pulled over, got out of my car, and I said, I'm going to go see if that thing was for sale at one time. I went up there, and I pulled up the sign, and sure enough, it had been for sale at one time. Had a phone number. I called the number, and I tell the guy, I say, I saw your sign here, but it's beaten down. Does that mean it's not for sale anymore? Here's what the guy told me. He said, listen, he said, we had that thing for sale and sold it twice to companies, to corporations. He says, but when they went to try to build on it, he said, the thing is landlocked. There's a farmer that owns property between this and the road. And he said, that guy won't give any access, and so they will not let you build on it. So it's come back to me two times. It's landlocked. And so if the land is landlocked, I mean, what are you going to do, you know? I mean, it's landlocked. I mean, it's locked. You can't build on it. And so I was getting ready to hang up the phone, and all of a sudden it's like whew, something rose up in the side of me. It's just like, man, like a flash, and said, and the voice inside of me said, that property's yours. Let me tell you. Now, listen, that's nice. That property's yours. And he said, tell him you take it. But I thought, Lord, it's landlocked. He said, you get it, and I'll open it. Because the genius of the thing was, if the thing wasn't landlocked, it would have been worth about $100,000 an acre. Because it was 31 acres. It would have been $100,000 an acre. Because it was landlocked, it was $10,000 an acre. So I says, I'll take it. And then he said, oh, you will? I said, yeah, I'll take it, just like it is. And do you know, long story short, within the next few months, God unlocked that land for us. The farmer who was very angry at us, just like he was the last owner, he was hollering at me one day on the phone when I'd ask him, I want just a little easement where we could put it, or like a pretty good size easement where we could put a driveway through. And so a few months later, I call him, and he's cussing me out, and I'll never give you access to this. And then all of a sudden, he stopped in mid-sentence. He said, well, wait a minute. He said, I won't give you access to it. He says, but I'll let you buy it. And I thought, well, he knows he's got us over a barrel now. You know, I said, how much do you want for it? He said, what'd you pay for that land there next to me? I said, 10,000 acre. He said, well, you can have this for 10,000 acre too. And it was 10 acres. Bought 10 acres. And so anyway, we bought that. And a couple years later, built a 2,500-seat auditorium, 100,000 square feet of building, you know, and our church was able to just go on and explode, you know, into what God had planned for us. And I just say that because, let me tell you, that's not normal to do that kind of stuff. That's not normal. Let me say, if you're not operating the kind of faith I'm talking about, then your head will give you fits and you'll get knots in your stomach. But I've seen God come through so many times. And I tell you this, I prophesy in Jesus Christ's name over this house right now. Let me tell you something. All that God's spoken to you is definitely coming to pass. Don't you doubt it. Every cobreste, brabaste, brabaja, everything. I'm talking about the church corporately now. The things, the specific things that God has spoken. Some things that seem like they've been on hold. Other things that seem like there's been a setback. You know, or just there's not been a breakthrough in other things. The Lord says, everything I've promised you is on hold. He said, you are at the moment you've received the promise, but you're working, you're going through the processes. But know this, God, know this, says God, I am carrying you through the process, and I am going to bring you to the place of the promise. So do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. What does it say? Galatians 5. Do not be weary. There you go. In well doing, for in due season you will reap, and not faint. Now let me tell you. God says that to people personally here right now. God is saying to you that you, just as you're connected to this house and there's a blessing on this house, that that blessing comes back to you in Jesus Christ's name. And there are a number of people here today who've been going through the processes. And you can't, you have not for a while been able to see the promise because all you can see is the processes. But God says, be of good cheer, lift up your heads and your hearts today because I am bringing you into the promised land that I have promised you. It is going to happen in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, give the Lord a big praise in this place. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. Everybody stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Cobrasteke. Halavroboste da bala ke reme de istobone. Brabase tonconce ke legista manjere. Yeah, la brabasta. My God, I feel just the presence of God coming like a mighty wave over this house. Come on, lift your hearts and praise Him right now. Come on, just receive. Receive. God is blowing a wind of encouragement, a wind of faith, a wind of new life, new breath, new breeze into people's lives, into this house. Bro, just receive that in Jesus' name. Father God, I just release your presence over this house. I release your presence over people. Yeah, right there. Kneel in Jesus Christ's name. Let the fire of God fall upon my brothers and sisters here in Jesus' name. Oh, God, bless the manga this day. Father, I pray that you take, and for the spirit of mourning, God, grant them a spirit of joy. God, let joy fill their hearts in the name, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now just lift up your hearts and praise Him. Praise Him. Come on, thank Him. Thank Him. Out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. Just praise Him. Out of your mouth. Praise Him. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this house, what you're about to do. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Just want to give a quick little shout out. There's a family that traveled all the way from Utica, New York to hear the message today. Some of you thought you came a long ways. They came a long ways. Brother Shelton laid hands on her up in Redeemer.tv church, and her heart condition was healed. So she wanted to come down today. You know, today we're very blessed. This house is a blessed house. And I want you to know that without question, the vision here is not small. How many of you know the vision here is big? Amen. It's a big vision. And the vision that we have here will literally take back what the devil has stolen for all these years in the entire Chemung area as well as the surrounding region. You are an integral part of the vision of God. Turn to someone and say, you are an integral part. And I challenge you today to be people of vision, to walk by faith and not by sight, to live this message out, and you will find that God will open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing you cannot even contain. As we always do, you are one of the best blessing churches, honestly. I just got to say that. I just came back from a church, and I want to say you are the best blessing church I have ever participated with when we have guests. And in every opportunity when we have a guest, you have the opportunity to sow into them. There is no pressure. We're not prying anything out of you. As you are led by the Holy Spirit, seed into this vision. They're getting ready to head to New Zealand to minister to pastors, right? In 2 weeks. 2 weeks heading to New Zealand. I want to be able to send them there, amen? They're already ready to go, and whatever God lays on your spirit to sow, we want you to sow. One more time with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Four people in the early service received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Come on, don't let the angels outshout you. I said four people went from hell to heaven, went from death to life. That's something to celebrate, amen? I love being a soul snatcher. How many of you like being soul snatchers? Amen? Being a soul snatcher. This morning, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, He wants you to know Him. I'm not asking you to join church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know Jesus so that you can live the life that our brother was talking about this morning. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want to receive Him into your heart, no matter who you are, where you are, how old or how young, Jesus will call and touch your life. The Bible says, those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Today, if you don't know Christ and you have a sin that's in the way, you're not sure if you died today if you'd be to heaven or if the trumpet blows, you'll go. So today, if you want to make yourself right before the Lord, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. We want to pray with you right up here. Is there anyone this morning that wants to get their heart right with the Lord? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else this morning? You want to make your life right with Jesus? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four. Three. Last call. And one. Let's bow our heads. Father, bless this offering in the name of Jesus. Bless us as we go out into the world. Thank you, God. This young lady's life will never be the same again. You are going to change her from the inside out. You're going to come in and live in her. And God, you're going to change her for the glory of God. We give you all the honor and the praise. And everybody said, young lady, when we give the offering, if you could meet me right up front, I'd love to pray with you. Everybody be blessed. Make sure you sow into the kingdom of God. Could I have both ladies? There are two ladies that raised their hand. If you could meet me right up here, don't be ashamed. Make your way right up to me.